Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thanks so much for being with us as we look into the Word of God, which opens our eyes and helps us see what really matters. Our title today is, Can't You See? Jesus healed a blind man, but he didn't heal him completely the first time. Did you ever wonder why Jesus did this miracle in two stages? We're continuing our study in Mark, and today our passage is from chapter 8. It is a longer section of verses for good reasons. Pay attention to how the example of the Pharisees and disciples show two levels of spiritual blindness. This is like the two stages of the blind man's physical blindness. As you know, Jesus totally healed a blind man, exactly what he wanted to do for the disciples and the Pharisees. And this is what he wants to do for you and me. Turn to Mark 8, and let's follow along with J. Mark as he shares this eye-opening message from the miracle of the blind man.
The text for our study today is Mark chapter 8 and verses 11 to 26. The healing of the blind man occurs at the end of our text, but to me, it seems clear that the man's healing is an object lesson for what is happening in the first part of the text. My teaching for today is titled, Can't You See? And so I invite you to listen carefully as I read this portion of Scripture, Mark chapter 8 and verses 11 to 26. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit, and he said, Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we didn't bring any bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, How is it that you do not understand? Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell anyone in the town. I believe that the various stages of Jesus' healing of the blind man aren't just physical, but they also connect with our spiritual vision, and they serve as a metaphor for our own spiritual growth. And so the first stage of spiritual vision is total blindness. Having just returned from effective ministry among the Gentiles, Jesus is immediately confronted by the hostility of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. And their attitude was so different to the open-hearted welcome that Jesus had received in Gentile places. These men were asking Jesus for a sign from heaven. Mark says they were testing him. The King James Version says they were tempting him. Now, the difference between a test and a temptation lies in the motivations and expectations of the tester. I believe tempting seems to be the better word choice here. They were trying to trap Jesus. You see, the rabbis assumed that some of Jesus' miracles had natural explanations, and they accused him, as you might recall, of using the power of Beelzebub. So they specifically asked for a sign from heaven. Most likely, they hoped that he would try to give them one, that he would fail, and then they would be able to discredit him. In response to their request, we read in the text that Jesus groaned deeply in his spirit. His spirit was stirred to its depths. It came, as we sometimes say, from the bottom of his heart. You know, to me, the depth of Jesus' compassion is remarkable. And his groaning reminds me of his weeping over the city of Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19 and verses 41 to 44. After they requested a sign, Jesus said, "Why are you asking for a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." These men, in spite of their knowledge of the Scriptures, were spiritually blind. They revered the temple and the sacrifices. They tithed scrupulously on the smallest garden seeds and even knew the prophecies about the coming Messiah. And yet they failed to recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of those prophecies. They refused to accept Scripture that didn't fit their presuppositions. Oh, that practice is prevalent today. Many professing Christ followers try to conform God's Word to their lifestyle. And if God's Word makes them uncomfortable, then they reject that teaching. They say it's outdated, or it's culturally irrelevant, or maybe they twist the meaning to get the end that they want. And then secondly, the religious leaders responded to additional light with greater rejection. And you can trace this progression through the gospel accounts. Like Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, they hardened their hearts more with each revelation of divine power. So after this, Jesus left the Pharisees and he sailed away to the other side of the sea. I see Jesus' departure as being sobering. He was abandoning these men to their self-righteous delusion. Because they refused the light, they became totally blind. Not physically, spiritually. And the saddest part of that blindness was they didn't know it. You know, all of us as human beings begin life in a state of total blindness to the things of God. Many, like the Pharisees, persist in that blindness. Why? Because it serves their own selfish goals. They may even adopt an outwardly religious appearance, but darkness still controls the heart. Let's be sure we don't remain in this stage of spiritual blindness. The next stage of spiritual vision is partial blindness. Now the focus shifts from the Pharisees to Jesus' disciples. When they were getting into the boat to sail across the sea, they had forgotten to take bread, except for one loaf, and they knew that wouldn't be enough for 13 men. So as they're sailing, Jesus admonishes them to take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Jesus is warning them about the bad influence of the Pharisees' teaching. He said it's like yeast spreading through the dough. It affects the whole batch. And then as the disciples talked, they concluded that Jesus' warning was because they had forgotten to bring bread. Now, I can imagine Jesus listening to their discussion with dismay. They were missing the point entirely, and so he began to ask them questions. He said, "Why are you discussing that we have no bread?" We're like them. Our primary concerns often center around our physical needs. And then Jesus went on and appealed to their intellect. He said, "Don't you understand what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about physical bread. Is your heart still hardened?" In our earlier teaching from Mark chapter 6, we read about the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water. Jesus is wondering if anything has changed in their hearts. And so he goes on, "Do you have eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear?" They had witnessed so many miracles, and they had heard him teach so often, and yet they so quickly forgot. "Don't you remember my miraculous provision for the multitudes?" They had even helped with that. They participated in distributing the bread and the fish, and yet here they were, concerned about the fact that they didn't know where to find bread. And so Jesus goes back to the second question of verse 17, "How is it that you do not understand?" After all this rebuke and explanation, the greatest of all teachers, with the greatest of all classes, struck a snag. The disciples could see, but they couldn't see clearly, because their focus on the physical obstructed their intellectual and spiritual sight. And you know, we are so much like them. we can be so preoccupied with the physical aspects of our existence that we lose sight of what really matters, what is eternal. We allow heavenly realities to be crowded out of our lives because we focus on the material. So let's learn from the disciples' mistakes and ensure that our vision is clear and unobstructed. That leads us to the final stage of spiritual vision, which is perfect sight. Jesus concludes by giving the 12 an object lesson they will never forget. As their boat lands at Bethsaida, a group of men brings a blind man to Jesus and begs him to touch him. Jesus takes the man by the hand and leads him out of the town, away from the crowd. And once Jesus and the blind man were alone, Jesus moistened the blind man's eyes with saliva and laid his hands on him. And then he asked him, "Do you see anything?" The man responded, "I see men, like trees, walking." This is the only miracle that Jesus performed gradually in stages. The formerly blind man saw men walking, but they were evidently quite blurry. So Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes again, and this time his sight was fully restored. He could see everything clearly. His blindness and his blurred vision were gone. His healing was complete, and he kept on seeing everything clearly, whether it was nearby or far away. And the grammar assures us that his healing was permanent. Jesus sent him home after he was healed. This man was forbidden to enter the village and create excitement, and Jesus also forbade him from spreading the news of his miraculous healing. I believe the blind man in our text mirrors the progression of sight. He went from entirely blind, like the Pharisees, spiritually, to partial sight, that was the disciples, to seeing everything clearly. His healing illustrates the clarity of sight that Jesus wants to give to everyone, and that includes you and me. So I ask you, are you still willfully blind to the truth like the Pharisees? Are you hiding behind a cloak of religion? Is your vision distorted because you focus on the temporary things of life? If so, ask Jesus to clarify your sight so you can focus on what is eternal. Or has your sight been completely restored by the touch of the Master's hand? If so, then praise God and tell other people how they too can have their sight restored. If you are spiritually blind or you can't see clearly, today is the day to accept Jesus' touch and to gain perfect vision.
What a thought-provoking message. Thank you, J. Mark. Have you ever met someone who wanted to stay blind? The people who stay blind are those who don't know they are blind. Instead of applying this principle to others, make it personal. Has Christ restored your eyes? Do you see the world like He sees the world? Ask Jesus to restore your sight so you can see clearly. Then, let's lead others to Him so they also can experience the wonderful, eye-opening power of Jesus. If you have any questions about today's lesson, or if you would like to contact us for any reason, you can contact us by email or online. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. There, you will find Contact Us under the Partner tab on the top right. Click on that, and you can message us directly. We look forward to hearing from you soon. The miracle in today's lesson reminded me of another time Jesus healed a blind man. In Luke 18, the blind man cried out for Jesus to have mercy on him. The crowd tried to make him be quiet, but he cried louder. Jesus asked him what he wanted, and his answer was simple and powerful. "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus responded to his desperate plea. This is a great example for all of us.